Well, today we're going to finish our last week in the series, People of Purpose. And today we're going to talk about discover power. And it was really discovering power and different things and discovering God's power, our power. Yes, discovering power. It's God's power and it's our power that we have within us. And that's what we're going to finish up today. Just a quick reminder, Pastor Jack Eldred will be here next Sunday preaching, bringing the word. Pastor Jack Eldred, and if you're newer with us, he was our founding pastor here. He retired 4 years ago this month. And he'll be here next week. So come and support him, support the church, and do what you normally do, and have fellowship with the body of Christ. Amen? This is the day which the Lord has made. We will... In case you didn't remember that, Philip gave us the lines already for how that goes. So we will rejoice and be glad in it. Turn in your Bibles today to Exodus chapter 9. We're going to hit about five different books, maybe four different books today, five different texts. But we're going to start in Exodus chapter 9. And it's taking part towards the end of poor little Pharaoh and his stubbornness. And everything he's gone through, and Moses is trying to let him or get him to set the people free. So Exodus chapter 9, verse 13 is where we'll start today. And I'm reading a little extra from what I want to read in the text part, but I'm going to read that so we have a little background. Verse 13 through 21 says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, Thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me, for at this time I will send all my plagues to your very heart and on your servants and on your people, that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. Now if I had stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut off from the earth.'" Now listen carefully, church. "But for this purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth, as you exalt you, and yet you exalt yourself against my people, in that you will not let them go. Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause very heavy hail to rain down, such as has not been in Egypt since its founding until now. Therefore send now and gather your livestock and all that you have in the field, for the hail shall come down on every man and every animal which is found in the field and is not brought home, and they shall die." That sounds pretty grim in itself. And it says, "He who feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his livestock flee to the houses." Usually that follows with a but. Certainly in verse 21. "But he who did not regard the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the field." Now what do you think happened? Those who did not regard God and his word, and they left him out there, and it started hailing and hailing and hailing. Now skip down to verse 27, and we'll read 27 through 35 through the end of the chapter. And it says, "And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron after the hail came down." And I want us to listen very carefully what he said to them. Pharaoh speaking to Moses and Aaron, he says, "I have sinned this time." This time. So he's trying to pinpoint, this time I've sinned. In the past, I hadn't. But now I admit maybe I've sinned. "The Lord is righteous, and my people and I are wicked. Entreat the Lord that there may be no more mighty thundering and hail, for it is enough. I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer." So Moses said to him, "As soon as I have gone out of the city, I'll spread my hands out to the Lord. The thunder will cease, and then there will be no more hail, that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But as for you and your servants, I know that you will not yet fear the Lord God." So they've already said, man, I've sinned this time. We are wicked. But Moses says, I already know this. I already know that you will not fear the Lord God. "Now the flax and the barley were struck, for the barley was in the head and the flax was in the bud. But the wheat and the spelt were not struck, for they are later crops. So Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh, spread out his hands to the Lord, then the thunder and the hail ceased, and the rain was not poured on the earth. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain, the hail, the thunder had ceased, what did he do? He sinned yet more. Not no more, he sinned yet more. And he hardened his heart and his servants. So the heart of Pharaoh was hard, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses. Now, if you read Exodus before that and after that, you'll come across many different sayings where it said, he hardened his heart. Repeatedly. Just go verses and chapters before that. Pharaoh hardened his heart again and again and again. And I just want to look inside and say, hey, anyone ever felt stubborn before? Oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do it. We've tried that before. We've done this. Well, it's not going to do any good. Well, how do you know? Well, I don't know, but I just know it's not going to do any good. Well, what do you base that on? I'm just a negative person, so it's not going to work. That's just what I say. It's what I do. I have no knowledge base of this. It's just not going to work. And we get stubborn. So now let's take it a step further. Anyone ever been stubborn against the Lord? He's told you, knock it off. Or he's told you, get busy, start working, come on. They need your help. By the way, young people, we need help on the mowing team. We've lost half our mowing team. A couple times up and down that Ground Zero hill will do you in. So if you're looking to serve and God says you need to go do something, can you tow a weed eater up and down that Ground Zero hill? Come see Eric or I after service. Okay, just a little plug, sorry. But we're stubborn against the Lord. I don't want to serve. I don't want to attend. I'm mad. I'm hurt. I'm upset. I don't want to give. I don't want to do. I don't want to help. I just want to be there. We're stubborn also. But then something comes against us. We say, uh-oh. I've got a problem in life. Let me go to church. I need some help. Can you guys help me out? I have trouble in my life. And you have this recollection. Oh, I may have sinned this time, Lord. I may have sinned this time. The rest I was justified in my actions, in my words, in my sayings, and whatever it is. But I may have sinned this time, so I need your help. I'm out of trouble now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Church, thank you so much. See you guys later. I'm going to sin yet more. And we go back to our old ways. We go back to our sin. We go back to our activities. It's just stubbornness. What I want us to get out of this are two things. Back in verse 16, he said, but indeed for this purpose. Remember, we're talking about being people of purpose. We're talking about being intentional. We're talking about having a plan. But indeed, for this purpose, I have raised you up. Why? To show my power. That's God's power, not any person's power, God's power. To show my power. How? Where? I'm going to show my power in you guys. See, my power can be shown in and through you. And that's what he says. My purpose to raise you up is to show you my power in you, that my name may be declared in all the earth. Some of us need to declare his name just in our own household. Maybe in our workplace. Maybe at school. Maybe through the different activities, groups, and organizations we belong to. That my name may be declared in all the earth. He says, and yet you exalt yourself. I exalt thee. That song, it doesn't say, I exalt me. But that's what he was doing. He exalts himself above and past other things. We have to get beyond our stubbornness. Now turn, if you would, way back in the Bible to 1 John. 1 John is going to be after James and after 1 Peter. Right towards the end of the Bible. Turn to 1 John. And I just want to read, I was going to read this, but I want you to turn there so you can see it. Print it on paper or on your phone or whatever device you're using. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 8. And it says, "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning." Remember, we just read, "I have sinned this time." Whenever you sin, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. Which point? "For this purpose, the Son of God came." The Son of God appeared to us, and he came to destroy the works of the devil. And we have to get that. We have to understand that from the very beginning, there was sin. From the very beginning, the devil has sinned. But it says, the Son of God appeared. Why? To destroy the works of the devil. And it tells us right there that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. We are children of God. We need to flee from these things. Resist the devil. Flee from him. For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Now let's flip back to Acts. Right after the Gospels, the book of Acts, chapter 1. We just finished that a couple weeks back in our Wednesday night Bible study. Spent several weeks going over Acts. The Acts of the Apostle. Jesus Christ has been crucified. He died. He was buried, he rose again, he appeared to them, and then he ascended into heaven. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and we read this as we really in the very beginning of our study on Acts, it says, "But you shall receive power." You shall receive power. When? We all want to know, when will I have this power that is promised to me? When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Okay? Then what do? "You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of all the earth." Now remember when we discovered this or read this in our Wednesday night Bible study, we talked many times and we talked about being witnesses. And witnesses are people that can tell other people what they had seen, what they had heard, maybe the information they know about a situation. And we talked about the fact that there are accurate witnesses, if you will, good witnesses, and there are inaccurate witnesses, bad witnesses. They didn't quite tell it like it happened. They may have thought they saw this or thought they heard this, but they were inaccurate. And that's why we always refer to the written word of God. When somebody tells you something, we want to be sure we're looking that up. I remember as we did the Youth Sunday, I've mentioned this before, and Andrew was talking last year. And he said, "Now, when I tell the kids something, I want to back it up with Scripture. So boom, let's go to this chapter, this book, this chapter, this verse, and this is going to back up what I just told you." So we, if someone isn't going to tell us that, then we have to be sure we're doing our own investigation saying, "Is that really the Word of God? Let me check and see. Did they put a spin on it?" So we want to be sure that we're good witnesses. "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses." Receive power. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, go be a witness. Now we're all witnesses for Jesus Christ. Do you know that? We're all witnesses. the phrase I have at work. We're all going to be noticed in my department. You've just got to figure out, are you going to be noticed for good or for bad? Is that one of my sayings? Always. We're all witnesses for Jesus Christ. Are we good witnesses or bad witnesses? And by bad, I just mean we're silent. We don't tell anyone anything about them. Our life has no evidence of it. We may be good people, but it isn't showing evidence that that goodness is because of and from Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit working within our own life. Turn, same book, Acts chapter 26, towards the end. And that was Jesus speaking to them, saying, "You shall receive that power." And so they sat and they've waited, and there's been a lot happen in those last 25, 26 chapters of Acts. Acts chapter 26, verse 12 through 18. And Paul really is recounting his conversation about his conversion. And he says, "While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest," and really he's saying, "I was given permission and I'm going looking for those dang Christians. And I may beat them, I may kill them, I'm going to bind them up and I'm going to drag them back. And I'm going to imprison them, or beat them, or, you know, kill them." And that was his "thus occupied." He says, "At midday, O king, along the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining all around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said to me, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting.' Now listen to this, verse 16. 'But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose.'" Jesus Christ isn't going to show up anywhere and everywhere with no purpose. "I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and" what? "And a witness. To make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes, in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me." Well, that's pretty fantastic. Paul's accounting what happened to him. He's trying to tell them, and it says, Jesus Christ says, "For this purpose I've appeared to you." Again, we just read, and there Jesus says, "But you will receive power." When? When the Holy Spirit comes. And what do? Become your witness. Now he's talking to Saul, who's blinded on the road, who's out killing the enemy in his mind. And Jesus says, "Man, I've appeared to you." And why do you think he picked Saul? Because he doesn't want to give any one of us a reason to say, "I'm not good enough to be used." I don't know what I'm doing. I can't serve. I've been through this in my life. I've had drug and alcohol addictions. I've had gambling addictions. I've had financial problems. I've had marital problems. I've been divorced multiple times. I've been married multiple times. I've been this. I've been hurt by the church. I've been hurt by people. I have injuries. I have some depression. I have these different things going on. Fantastic! I can use you. You can help other people through this. You can help other people through this because you've been through there. Saul, I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister You can tell other people about me. No, I came to make you a minister and a witness. What are you going to witness to? Man, you're going to witness to the things you've seen. By the way, you're also going to witness to the things that I haven't even shown you yet. Church body, I don't care from our youngest children that know, skipping the babies, but from our youngest children to our oldest person, he says, I've shown you these things. Some of these things may be hard, but some haven't. But I've shown you these things so that you can be my witness. And by the way, I've got better stuff to come still. I haven't even shown you all the things that when you become my servant, you will be a witness of those greater things. By the way, I'm noticing some of you worship in a little different way and style. And I see some of you reaching out to God through your worship. And that's submission. And that's humility. And God says, man, I'm going to honor your worship to me. For this purpose, I've appeared to you. Now, don't think just because we have been blinded by this amazing light that we haven't been witness to Jesus Christ appearing to us. For those of us that have accepted Jesus, somehow He's appeared to us. And He's shown Himself to us. He has appeared to us for this purpose. To be witnesses. As I studied this, I made a note. And then I went back and forth and couldn't find where I wrote that note. But it's like when you're trying to find the key and someone's chasing you. And you get a big thing of keys. You can't find the key that you always go right to. But when they're chasing you, you just can't find it. And you drop the keys 10 times. I thought, where in the world? So I just had to slow down and read everything all over again. I thought, oh, it's right there in verse 18. Verse 18 of Acts 26. And it says, I will deliver you from the Jews and the Gentiles to whom I now send you. And He sent you, why? To open their eyes. Oh my goodness, He's sending this Christian killer, if you will, to open their eyes. Why? In order to turn them from darkness to light. Remember, church, we sometimes are that hope that other people have. We are the light in their dark, dark world. But listen to this. And to turn them from the power of Satan to the power of God. So we have to be careful, as I put down, discover power. Satan has power also. The power of Satan overtakes some of us. And we have to find a way to get around that and discover and turn us to the power of God. Why? That they and we may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. I thought, man, I don't know that anyone has quite as an exciting story as his. But we all have a story. We all have a story to tell about our conversion, our relationship with Jesus Christ. And trying to discover, hey, what's His purpose for me? I'm 14, I'm 17, I'm 27. What purpose could I have? Certainly, what power could He possibly reveal to me? Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'm telling you, if you slow down and look, He'll reveal that to you. First Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. and we'll read through the end of the chapter. I'll skip that first part. And it says in 1 Corinthians 4:6, "Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it?" And this is really Paul going a little further in his journey now and still talking about, hey, this is what I'm here for. And he goes on in verse 8 and says, "You are already full. You are already rich. You have reigned as kings without us, and indeed I could wish you did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God has displayed us." Now listen carefully. God has displayed us. He's put us out there for all to see. The apostles, he said, last. He put us last. God's done this to us. "As men condemned to death, for we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men." He says, "We are fools for Christ's sakes. But you are wise in Christ." And he goes on to say, "But we are weak and you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. To the present hour, we both hunger and thirst. We're poorly clothed. We're beaten and we're homeless. And we labor, working with our own hands. But being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world." That doesn't sound too great for an apostle, now does it? But these are Christ's witnesses. "We have been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things." And then what does he say? "Until now." We've been displayed as all these horrible things until now. He says, "I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you." I'm giving you a little heads up. "For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." And he says, "Therefore I urge you." I urge you. Imitate me. He says, "I want you to be like I have been." He says, "For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power." He says, "I'll know the power, not just those puffed up people that are speaking words. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod? Or in love and a spirit of gentleness? Jesus Christ came with a spirit of love and gentleness. So there's several things in here that stand out as we read this. And of course, for me, verse 13 is the one that stands out. We've had all this stuff done to us. We appear this way. We've been made as the filth of the world until now. Until now. And by the way, they say, "We're okay doing this for the cause of Christ. We're okay doing this for Christ." But he says in verse 16, "Imitate me." Imitate me, and I'm sending Timothy to show you how I would be. And I was that way because they're the ways in Christ. They're my ways in Christ Jesus. And I teach the same thing everywhere in every church that I go visit. And that's Christ's way. So imitate me. Be imitators of Christ. We've talked many times about being His ambassadors. Being representatives of Jesus Christ and all we say and do. He says, imitate me because I do these things. For the kingdom of God is not in word but in power. And he's going on just to tell his story. Here's my conversion story. This is what happened. Jesus Christ came to me and said, this is the reason I've appeared to you. So you can do this. I have great plans for you. Oh, and I want you to be my witness. And to tell other people about what you've seen. And by the way, I've got these things I want to do for you. I haven't yet revealed those or shown those to you. We talked on our Wednesday night about older conversions in life and how small the percentage is for older people to come to a knowledge of Christ and to have that conversion experience. And I think it really relates to this. As people are willing to open themselves up to accept and receive that. But he says, man, imitate me in everything you do. You're going to have some that will be like this. But when it comes down to this, follow me. And I want to close with this in John chapter 16. And as people of purpose, people that set out their day so that we can say, man, when I get out of bed and my feet hit the floor, I want to be going. But I want to be going where you tell me to go, God. As we talked about the last couple weeks, I don't want to take off and say, follow me, God, be with me. I want to start off in the morning and say, where do you want me to go today, Lord? Oh, you've given me this place to go? Ugh. Think about Jonah. Hey, I want you to go here. Go that way. And what does Jonah do? First time around, he hightails it out of there. I get the impression he said the same thing as Pharaoh said. I might have sinned this time. You may have caught me, God. You told me to go there and I went there. I might have sinned. So I'm going to go be obedient after this time. And in John chapter 16, verse 25... through the end of the chapter. And this is important as we discover power. And that's the power of Christ. That's our power in and through Christ Jesus. And Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you in figurative language. But the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. And that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me, and you have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said to him, see, now you are speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God. And Jesus answered and responded back to them, said, Do you now believe? Indeed the hour is coming. Yes, has now come. That you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace in the world. Or you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You know, even when we feel like we're alone and we're out there on an island all by ourselves, in either I don't have friends, or people don't get me, or I don't really fit in, or I'm just alone. I have no mate, whatever it is. When we feel alone as Christians, we have to understand, just like Jesus told them, I am not alone because the Father is with me. Now, let's be honest. I'm sure some of you are thinking, big deal. Big deal the Father's with me. I'm still sitting here alone day in and day out in my home, in my school, where there's thousands or hundreds of students around me. I'm still walking down the halls alone every day. Big deal the Father's with me. I don't get that. And I can't lay with the Father. I can't hold His hand. I can't walk down the hallway with Him. I get that. But He tells you, I am not alone because the Father is with me. And I tell you today, He is with you. When you walk and you sit and you drive and you sleep and you are alone, He's with you. And it tells you, He spoke these things so that you may have peace, that you may have comfort about your life. In the world, you will have tribulation. You're going to have things come against you, church. You will have these things. This is Jesus telling them, you're going to have these things. I go back up to the top. You see, He's using plain language here. You will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Why? I have overcome the world. And as He has overcome the world, great news. We too have become overcomers. We too have beat the enemy. We have to choose to. As we become and discover what it means to be people of purpose, there's a lot for us to think about. Over the last couple of weeks, we talked about many things. We talked about waiting and, you know, so on and so forth. Many things we have to do to be people of purpose. Oh, we've got to pray. We have to serve. He said we've got to serve. He didn't specifically mention giving, but man, it was in there kind of tucked neatly in between some other things. So as not to do a tithing message that really turns people off. Philip, I love what you said today. Man, we've got another act of worship today to give tithes and offering back to Him who gave it to us to begin with. Being people of purpose takes work. It takes intentional thought. And it takes planning. It takes planning to say, I'm going here. The road's closed. I need to plan my alternate route now. Because Jesus says, I'm closing that door. And I don't want you going back through that again. Some of you know very specifically what that door is. He says, by the way, I've opened this door over here. It's all lit up. You know the way. You can see the way. I'm just waiting for you to come in here. But He calls us to be people of purpose, set up a plan, taking us away from the things that pull us away from God and pulling us to the things that draw us to Him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the opportunity to study Your Word. Lord, as we discovered today, Pharaoh and his realization at the moment, but his short victory over his sin and his quick return to that sin, to his hardened heart that continued on, Lord, to Saul's story and his conversion. That You say, nothing is impossible for me. You see, I can use the smallest, the youngest, the weakest, the one who has more hurt than anyone. I can use them for my glory when they commit to me and humble themselves and submit themselves to me and my authority. Lord, today help us become people of purpose. Help us to understand and start thinking about and talking about where we are and where we want to go. But as we talked about last week, the thing that usually is missing is how do we get there? Help us to discover and realize that plan. Lord, help guide us this week as we go out the actions we have towards one another. For your word just said, we can go out in the spirit of love and gentleness. If correction is due, Lord, help us in the way we present it. Lord, help guide our tongue, the words we speak to one another, as we say so many times to those we know and don't know. Lord, that we edify you, that we bring you glory and honor in the things that we say to one another, that we become encouragement for those that need encouragement. We become hope for those that are hopeless. And we become light for those in darkness. Just as you said the purpose for Saul was. And to help turn us, Lord, from the power of the devil to the power of God. Lord, we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.